Let's pray before I start, all right? Father, we just ask for your anointing on your word tonight. We know that it is anointed. We release it and trust that it is. Father, I thank you that my words will be from your heart and my heart combined, working together for the good of the people. Father, I thank you and I praise you that you have made us more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, that you have made us victors, that we live in the victory that Jesus Christ won for us, and there is nothing in this life that can defeat us if we will stay and remain in you. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to talk about living out your faith, but I subtitled it, When Life Doesn't Go as Planned. When life doesn't go as planned. Anybody had anything in life not go as planned? Okay, great. This message is for all of us. You know, sometimes life doesn't go as planned. And I've had several things in life that didn't go as planned. I have been married before, and of course now I'm married to Rusty, and we've been married for 24 years this year. Is that crazy? And he's a big part of this story. He's at work tonight, and it was my plan for him to be here when I talked about this, but didn't work out that way. Didn't work out as planned. But we're going to trust in God. And as I was just pondering this all day, I just stayed home after lunch today, getting a hold of myself and like, okay, this is going to be for purpose, and it's going to accomplish something in the hearts of the people tonight. And I was thinking about the dream, you know, how we dream life is going to be, how you dream marriage is going to be, how you dream your children are going to be, how you dream growing old is going to be. And we have this dream, and it's good. That is good. You should dream. But when something happens in the dream, your kids look like they're going an opposite direction than the dream. Your mate looks like they're going an opposite direction. When life doesn't go as planned, God, he just spoke this to me this afternoon. My truth is more solid than any of your dreams. And I thought, yes, it's good to dream, but when the dream doesn't turn out the way you thought, God's truth remains. It's solid. And I decided to bank my life on that. And I had a choice. And I decided to bank my life on it. I want to go back to Matthew 7. We read this verse Sunday morning. I'm not going to go back over what we talked about Sunday morning. If you didn't get that, you can listen to it online. But he's talking about the two different people here, the foolish and the wise. And in verse 24, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, Jesus speaking, and doeth them, Matthew 7:24, I'm sorry. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now, we've sang that in Sunday school, and we've read it as we read it Sunday, and different words stood out to me at different times, but tonight, the word which built their house upon a rock. And I thought, you know, the best thing we can do for ourselves or for our children is to place them on the foundation of a relationship with God and the truth of his word. And my parents saw to it I had a foundation. But a foundation is not meant to be lived on. It's meant to be built on. And you can put out, I don't know how many builders we have in here, but you can have a foundation poured, and you can throw your family up on that foundation, and it's not a very safe environment. It's not a shelter. You build your life. You build your marriage. You build your family upon the rock. The wise man built his house, his house. My parents could lay the foundation for me, but they could not build my house. They could not build my house. You can't build your children's house. You're laying a foundation for them, and you've got to teach them how to build, and they've got to build. And if you don't get anything else tonight, please get that. But because my parents had laid a foundation for us, and because I had watched them build a life, they had showed me how to build a life. I had built, not that I didn't ever build wrong, but I had built to a great degree a shelter for my soul, for my heart, for my family, upon the rock, the truth of Jesus Christ. Building is done choice by choice. And what you're doing tonight, even just sitting here in this room, listening, partaking of the word, is building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. You're making a life choice tonight. And when, can I use just a little bit of French here? When all hell breaks loose in your life, what you have already built is crucial. The wise man built his house, and then the rains came, right? And I remember my dad saying this so many times, you can build a house in a storm, but that's not easy. And we've tried to help people who have not known the word, you know, that are in the middle of a storm, and we've, you know, you try to walk alongside them and help them have a barn raising, so to speak. You know, hey, let's all get together. Let's help this person get through this time in their life. And you can do that. But ultimately, wisdom says the wise man built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat. We talked about this word Sunday, means to fall towards or to rush upon as a storm. The winds beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like unto the foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Sand shifts. It goes with the environment. It can be moved. We don't want to be the person that when something happens that's outside of what we planned, that directs what happens to us. Most of us in here would be dead. We might be alive, but we would be the walking dead. Because things have happened to people. People's hearts have been hurt. They've had things happen that makes them want to withdraw. And so if we built our homes, our lives, our heart on sand, and the environment determines, that's not going to work. Life is going to dictate to us who we are and how we are. And that's what we see when we're dealing with people who are unsaved or just haven't had a lot of knowledge of the word. And we see these reactions and these actions from people that don't make sense to us. We need to be understanding. If their life was built on sand, they can't help but go the direction that life. They're angry. They're hurt. They're withdrawn. And we've all had the opportunity. Sometimes I think, who would I be? Who would I be if I had not known what I knew about God? And I can tell you, I'd be empty. I'd be angry. I'd be mean. I can tell you. Because it's crucial what I did yesterday is crucial for my future. What you're doing today is crucial for your tomorrow. The process of building correctly takes time, it takes effort, but it brings a stability that money can't buy. It brings a stability money can't buy. I'm telling you, it brings a stability and a peace that money cannot buy. Rusty and I were living a great life. Our kids were mostly behaving. We weren't perfect parents, so they weren't perfect kids. Y'all wouldn't have liked them if they were perfect, because yours are not perfect, and then you'd have been jealous of mine. So we're just all in the same boat together. We're just all doing the best we can with what God gave us. We were debt-free. When I was, I think, 42 was my goal was 40, but it took me a year or two extra, and we were debt-free when I was 42. Rusty was, he's a little older than me. So we were, you know, we're living good, living the dream. We'd just taken the kids on, we had had our 10-year anniversary, and we had taken the kids in 2011 on our first cruise and took the kids with us on our anniversary cruise. That's what you do when your kids are adults and they move out. Then you start taking them with you on date night. And, you know, you think, my nest is empty. We're at home alone all the time. Let's go on date night. Okay, I'll call the kids. So you that are younger, just know that day's coming. Instead of taking them to mom, she'll be like, kids, y'all come eat with us. We had gone on a cruise in 2011 and taken the kids to Jamaica and the Cayman Islands and Cancun. Just had a blast. The kids really got back together. You know, they had kind of gone their separate ways. Wade had bought his own house. Chelsea had her own place. And so they really got to reconnect and came back home, had a great couple of years. And then, of course, we got the call that Wade had been killed out at the nuke, out at the nuclear plant. He was our firstborn. He was 24 at the time. And, you know, I didn't plan on that. I didn't plan on that. And I understand the first thought that comes to a lot of people's minds, and I've had a few people ask me. And I just want you to know I'm not going to let anything you ask me tonight offend me. I made up my mind before I came. I'm not going to let anything you ask me tonight. If it's not the way I would have worded it, that's fine. I'm not going to let anything offend me. At the time, I was very easily offended. I was hurting, and if you'd asked me this, I probably would have let loose on you. But how did that happen to you? I had it asked. How could this happen to your son? Well, that's putting a whole lot of responsibility on me that I don't deserve. Did I pray over my children? Yes. And this is the thing. A lot of times, I grew up in the faith movement, and I think a lot of times people didn't talk about their problems. For one, we're very careful with our words. For another, we almost felt, or I almost felt, if I was going through something, I was not in faith. Okay, we got a few faith people in there that went through this. You know, when that's when we should be able to rely on the body of Christ. Even if we did something wrong, we should. And so when I talk about these things, I'm not downing anybody. I just want us to grow. And I want you to know that if your children didn't turn out like you dreamed, that doesn't mean that you missed it in faith. I got a few amens. And it's just the truth. Or if the dream that your marriage didn't turn out like you dreamed, that doesn't mean, it may have mean you made some mistakes in your marriage, but doesn't mean that you haven't lost. Amen. You haven't lost. If we keep going, my dad used to tell me this all the time, the only way to lose is to quit. And I, guys of the house, always tell people when they tell me, well, I've been through, you know, hey, let's get you into Project Hope, or let's get you into Saving Grace. Well, I've been through rehab 3 times. Great. You haven't quit. Let's go again. If you haven't quit, you haven't lost. And so I really want to take the burden of being in a faith fight, the burden of appearances off of you. And I had to come to terms. And with most deaths, if you know the grief process, a big part of that is guilt. And how could I feel guilty when a crane collapsed and killed? How could I feel guilty? Well, the devil's going to do anything he can to separate you from the love of God. Can we just skip over? This is going to be what I closed with. Let's just roll with it. Romans 8. I'm going to do quite a bit of reading here because there's just so many things in this passage. And while you're turning there, let me tell you how this happened to my son. Oh, not the story. Most of you know the story of how it happened, but how it happened. When people say, how could this happen to your child? First of all, most of them are in fear that if it happened to my child, with me being a woman of faith, it could happen to theirs. And most of them leave you in your friendship. It's a very common thing, people who lose children, that their friends who have children the same age as their children walk away from them because they don't want to look at it. And you shouldn't plan on your child dying. You should plan on your child living. But when what you plan doesn't happen, you better have a foundation of faith. My son, mine and Rusty's number one scripture through this process has been John 10:10. Yes. And if you don't know who's doing what, God or the devil, you can't resist the devil. And so John 10:10 plainly teaches us that the thief comes for a couple of reasons. To steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said that. And he said, but I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Which means he did not just want me to survive what happened here. He wanted me to thrive even though this happened here. And every time you go down that road and you see that nuclear plant out there, I want you to smile at it. That's the way I had to learn to deal with it, because it was a monument all the time. I live out that way and had to see it all the time. And I choose to see it as the launching pad where my son left this earth and went to heaven. And how you think when things don't go as planned, that's your sand or your foundation. Because your thoughts are going to take you somewhere. And people say well-meaning things, but they're the wrong things. And so you've got to keep your atmosphere of your mind, you have control of. The atmosphere of you, you have control of. And so keeping in the word is just crucial. So Romans 8, oh man. We have to go there. Let's start in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses. This is key to know. When you're hit with something that is more than your flesh can handle, more than your mind can wrap around, when you're feeling weak in yourself, that's what this word is. Likewise, the Spirit also helps. The Spirit will help your weakness. Amen. You don't have to be strong in your flesh. You got to be strong in the Word. And you've got to know how to tap into that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When you don't have words, you can break over and pray in the Spirit. It's crucial. If you haven't received the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to ask the Father to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Believe that you will begin speaking in tongues. You have received the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we have a little battle with the head on speaking in tongues, but believe that you'll speak in tongues. You will. And then use that precious, priceless power that helps you when you are weak. And there was just days I didn't know how to put out my mouth what I felt, what I was dealing with, how I was going to wake up in the morning and continue on. Chelsea was engaged at the time that her brother was killed. And his funeral was April 4th. Her wedding was May 4th. You can't lay in the bed. You've got to live. I mean, you could, but you're going to lose your earth daughter. Yeah. And so praying in the Spirit helps us when we don't know how to pray. Well, we don't know what to say. Verse 27 says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." If you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying the will of God. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." And if you pull that scripture out of context, you will start blaming God and think that what happened to you was for the purpose of working together for good. That you've got to put it in the context. When you're praying in the Spirit and when you're accessing the Spirit to help you in your weaknesses, then all things work together for good. You can't pull that verse out of there and give it to somebody who's hurting. Has to be done in context. Don't look at somebody whose child has died or mate or anything and say, God had a plan. Well, according to Jeremiah 29:11, he did have a plan. And it was good, and it was full of hope, and it was for my son's future. But the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. He did kill temporarily. The flesh, just the body. He did steal his presence temporarily. But my eternity with my son is longer than my earth walk with my son. And you see how you have to shift your mind? And you can't listen to country songs? "I'll drive your truck." I know, we did it. You've got to protect you're building something. You got to protect your mind when life doesn't go as you planned it. You got to protect your mind. You got to shift it back to the solid foundation and get off of that sand. And it's not easy to do, but it's crucial to do. All things. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. "For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." We're skipping a lot of stuff here, but stay with me. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." And if your attack or your plan is that you had some moral issue that you're dealing with where a lot of shame and a lot of guilt are involved, this might be your verse. He justified. He glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, I'm going to say, what can be against me? What can successfully... Things are going to come against you. We know that from the Word. But what can successfully come against me? He that spared not his own son, I love that. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's our attorney, right? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Or sword? I don't know, will it? Let me tell you, if you think God killed your kid, the answer is yes. It can separate you from knowing God loves you. Anybody who's going through anything with loss, the first thing you need to teach them is John 10:10, and you need to do it very carefully. when they say, I know God had a plan, or I know God needed a little angel in heaven, or all the stupid things that people say, I should say ignorant things that people say, then be gentle, but come back with, I kind of see that different. When I found John 10:10, it really changed the way I saw things. So don't come at them like, I'm right, you're wrong, but come at them like, you know, God showed me something in John 10:10, and I think it might help you. But if you don't know it, you can't give it. And so, you know, what can separate us from the love of God? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. He's quoting an Old Testament verse here. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Ready for the New Testament version of that? No. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature is going to be able to separate me from the love of God. You need to turn that into a personal confession. Nothing that this life throws at me is going to be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we don't have that handled, if we don't know that God's love is not tainted with evil and harm, and we think God does the things that we didn't plan on happening in life, but that it was his plan to throw something on us, then you won't fight it. I mean, if God sent it, why fight it? We got to know the difference between God and the devil. It's crucial. And it was one of the biggest things that Rusty and I had to establish. And I'll speak for Rusty a little bit tonight. I really wish he was here, but he had not been in the faith as long as I had. And so, you know, he battled it. He didn't say much to me because I was dealing with my own, you know, he was just trying to keep me going. And but later he told me, he said, you know, really, really battled, God, how could this happen? How could this happen? And now John 10:10 is his anthem. It's in his heart. It comes out his mouth. And he'll tell anybody that's standing still that's going through something, John 10:10, because he had to pull from that. And I thank God that I had Rusty to walk through this and to love me while we went through this walk. Who you have around you when life doesn't go as planned, it's everything. I mean, really. I thank God for this church. I thank God for the people in this church is what I should say. For my friends that walked this road with us, for my husband, for my children. It matters. When you read Psalm 1 and also Jeremiah 17, which are very similar in their wording, it says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful or the mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water, and brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. I really like Jeremiah 17:7 even better, the way he words it. He says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He's going to be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. And when you can bear fruit in the middle of what happened, the only way that happens is when you've planted yourself in relationship with him. And I love what it said in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means who you're walking with is important. Who you're walking with is important. Who you're walking with is important. Who you're sitting with is important. Next thing he talks about sitting, talks about standing. Who you're walking and standing and sitting with is important. What you're delighting in is important because it's going to determine your outcome. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're going through, for lack of better words, a crisis in your life that's challenging your soul, your emotions, your body, look at who you're walking with, you're standing with, and you're sitting with. And look at what you're immersing yourself in. What are you delighting in? Look, I can't go home and watch trauma shows. I can't. You might can. In your situation, you might can. But in my situation, I cannot. I can't watch an autopsy. I can't. I know that. So guess what? Wisdom says, don't do that. Why? Because it triggers something in me and I know where it will take me. And so you have to protect the atmosphere of your heart and of your mind. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. And so what I've had to learn is I'm on the foundation, but it's my responsibility. What my daily is building. And either it'll be a shelter to me or it's going to be a hazard to me. And walking out our faith has been, first of all, Rusty and I sticking together. I forget the percentages now. I looked at it at one time. Actually, our attorneys hit us with it right from the get-go. This is the percentage of marriages that don't make it through the loss of a child. And they just hit us with it from the get-go. So we determined right there and then we're not going to let that happen. We're not going to have a secondary loss due to the first. The way we walked that out is I have a set of books that a group of moms that had lost children approached me not long after Wade had been killed and gave me, it's called The Journey of Grief, and it's by Stevens Ministry. If you need something to give someone who's just lost somebody, I highly recommend it. It's not a heavy faith book, but it's a simple book, and they definitely don't blame God. So it does talk about what to do if you feel like, you know, if you feel anger towards God, but it doesn't put the blame on God, which is a huge issue for me. I just won't give somebody a book that does that. So Journey, I believe it's called The Journey of Grief, and it's by the Stevens Ministry. And it's a four-part book, it's four little books. The first one is for like a couple of weeks after loss. The next one's for like 3 months after loss. The next one's for like 6 months after the loss. And the next one is for 11 months after the loss, preparing them for the one-year anniversary of the loss, which is kind of a trigger point for a lot of people. I highly recommend that you keep one at your house to give to somebody. We would read that at night. We'd read one chapter at night, laying in bed. We'd read one chapter. And what this did, I'm an introvert, in case you didn't know. And Rusty is an extrovert, and he wants to talk about it, and I wanted to shut down. Like, I was dealing with attorneys every day. I had to talk about it more than I wanted to talk about it, but Rusty needed me to talk about it. And so reading that book out loud, I would read it out loud, and then it would bring up discussion. He would say, well, I'm feeling that way. Well, I'm not feeling that way, or I'm not feeling that way, and he is feeling that way. And it kept communication going. And I highly recommend if you're going through something with somebody else that you find something in common that you can read and talk about. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Prayer became very crucial, just talking to God about things I couldn't talk to anybody else about due to the secrecy of everything that had to be kept confidential, of it being at the nuclear plant and the lawsuit and everything. I couldn't talk to anyone. Rusty, there's a lot of things Rusty, I couldn't even talk to Rusty about. So was very alone in those times, and sometimes trauma and things will make you feel very alone. You've got God. If you're separated from your family, guys, you're in the house going through getting better, building yourself up. Sometimes that can be lonely, even if you're in a house full of guys. And talk to God. Prayer. Getting out in nature, putting my feet in the grass was sometimes very necessary. Just taking off my shoes and putting my feet in the grass. You know, God can give you little things to do to help you. And it may be shocking. He told a guy to go wash in the river. So don't think that getting your feet in the grass is that weird. God can give you little things that can help you. He knows you. He knows what you need. And he wants to help. When you've gone through something, sometimes the tendency is to shut down and shut off and not talk about it. I went through a lot today just knowing I was going to talk about this tonight. But what you're going to find is when you've been through something, if you can help somebody else go through it, there is definitely healing in it. And God will send you people. Well, your compassion opens the door. When people can feel that you love them, they can see the love of God in you. When you reached across and you grabbed her hand and you began to weep with her,
I could feel it.
It's what Jesus did.
Yes,
you get to be that out there. You may never go through this, but you're going to meet somebody who has. And so be ready, be compassionate. Don't just preach at them come at them with what I call hardcore, you know. That's for some people that might work, but you're going to need to deal with them according to the texture of their heart.
What you're saying was so good.
You've lived it, sis.
Yeah. And Cassandra left 17 months ago Monday. And you keep up with the dates.
Yes, you do. It's a timeline.
And, you know, after the initial shock and then the numbness and all the guilt,
mm-hmm.
I mean, all the process was there. But then I found after I started saying, okay, you know, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this anymore, you know, Cassandra would have not wanted me to.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then I found that I was having to deal with fear of losing someone else I loved.
Oh, yes.
And I've really, even up until the last couple months, I've really been getting on that.
Yeah.
It's like, I am not having that devil.
Yeah.
I will not lose. And if something ever did happen, which, you know, if rapture don't come, we're not going to live forever, that God will give me what I need then.
That's right.
And so not allowing those thoughts to get in your mind that this could happen again. And
I think that's key, because when something that you didn't plan on happens, then the devil tries to take that into every other area of your life. And you have to go back and you have to say, I still pray over Chelsea and PJ and Brittany and Grant, and I still pray over my family the same way I did Wade.
That's
hard for your head to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because part of
you start praying and all of a sudden Cassandra's name comes into it. It's like it just comes out of your spirit. But dealing with the fear, you know, I'm not having it.
That's right.
And I know where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, at times it just kind of there and it's like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
I could go down that road or I could say, wait a minute.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fear is, it likes to spread.
One thing, you know, you were together 25 years. We've been together 40-some years.
49.
Exactly.
You can understand how each other are feeling.
Yes.
Pretty easy. But when you've got other children, how they're feeling is something that you kind of have a hard time dealing with.
That's good.
How are they dealing with this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because especially if they're introverted and don't want to talk about it.
That's right.
You have no clue how to reach them and how to make sure that they're
okay.
That's
so good.
It's very good. I have a little mom's group and that have all got children in heaven, and something that we really talk about when we get to get together, which is not very often, is a lot of them have lost relationship with their earth children because they're so consumed with grief of the one that's gone on to heaven. And so you just really have to be aware, and almost to a fault, you know, when you're dealing with people who have gone through anything traumatic, where life surprised them, be sensitive. Be sensitive. Listen to the Spirit. You're going to have to know by the Spirit. If you haven't experienced it, then you're going to have to go by the Spirit. And God can show you some things and help you help people. I thank God for people that are filled with the Spirit who are sensitive.